What is up? We're back doing another episode of Trail Talk, but as you can see, we're not on the trail, and that's mostly so that you guys can see this. We're here with Nate Bailey of Mesa Jeep. I saw him in Moab once and about pooped myself trying to get over to talk to him about this. This is the most unique suspension I have ever seen on the rear of a Jeep. Nate, you excited to go hit the trail and talk about it?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited.
Okay. It wouldn't be Trail Talk if we weren't on the trail, so we're going to grab the Cardos and Onyx. We're going to go run Rattlesnake Canyon. We're up in Utah County. As you can see, there's no red rock around me, so I'm away from home. So let's get after it.
Trailhead, we're on Rattlesnake Canyon, like I said before. If you don't know where that is, it's out by Five Mile Pass in Utah County-ish. Altooele County, technically, I think. Either way, jump onto Onyx. We're recording this, and you can see exactly where we went. I'm actually just kicking it off right now. Anyways, okay. Question at hand. Why did you build this?
So the rear, I assume you mean why did I build the rear?
No, the Jeep, the front's pretty tame, but yeah. The rear is bananas.
So it had, you can see the Moto built leaf spring stretch bumper, and I had that on leaf springs, and then I used Rough Stuff stretch perches, and so the rear axle was pushed so far back on leaf springs. And it was such a thin, like, XJ leaf that you're supposed to use with it.
Yeah, just get that flex.
It was axle wrapping parked in the garage. So, and then I was like, well, maybe I'm going to have to run an anti-wrap bar, like a traction bar. And then I tried sitting shocks. I welded in shock towers, and I couldn't clear even just, like, a smooth body, a little Bilstein shock. I was hitting it. I was trying moving it in different directions and forward and back. And I was hitting my frame and I was hitting my axle and I was hitting my drum brakes. And so I was sitting on that for a while. And then I found a set of 10-inch coilovers and bypasses. I don't use the bypasses, but I found these coilovers on Facebook for a steal. So I bought them and then got a 4-link kit and figure out what I want to do with it. And I've always liked like Formula One and mostly race cars. It's not too much in the off-road, but like cantilevers, Ariel Atom. I love the Ariel Atom. That was like dream car growing up. It's such a sick car. So I wanted to try and do something like a cantilever with it. And so there's why.
Here we are. It's just kind of wanting to be unique, which dude, totally, totally worth it. It's so cool. That's a lot of work. Why did you look into like, well, what if I just get like a coilover kit? Because I know they sell them for the YJs.
I mean, yeah, I could have. Even then, if I would have just done a straight coilover, like with how I have really skinny axles, they're from like 1975 F-250. So.
Okay.
The rear is just so skinny. If I was on a true set of tons that's like 72 inches wide, I would probably be able to fit this a lot easier just putting a coilover in there. But these axles are like 67 inches wide, something like that.
Okay.
And the rear is even like 4 inches skinnier than that. So it's like 63 because I have spacers back there. So trying to clear the drums probably just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, you get way more clearance having just an inch and a quarter bar than having a full shock or, you know, all the stuff that comes along with that.
Yeah, and if I wanted to buy another set of, like, 16-inch coilovers, that's, like, $2,000. Whereas these coilovers were, like, $500 or less, maybe.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know.
Works. Do you want to know before you keep going on that, do you want to know the bad news?
What?
Even with Onyx, I think we went the wrong way. I think we were supposed to go left back.
Wait,
am I not on Rattlesnake? No, we're on Rattlesnake Canyon, but the Rattlesnake Trail Technical. We can go back to that if you want, or we can keep doing this, but it's going to be more dirt road like this.
So we want to be on the technical trail.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to be on the technical trail, that's what I had in mind.
Should I just call up to here and go back down it?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do that in reverse.
I mean, we're doing those to it.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. That's on me. My bad. Anyways, so you get more clearance doing it this way. It looks way cooler.
The big thing is I do a ton of curated design. I do SolidWorks. That's been like my thing since I was doing that when I was in high school. I was like 17 doing SolidWorks for my job. So I just love designing stuff and coming up with different ideas. And so I went through tons and tons of different variations of a cantilever, pushing the shock forward, inboard, back, or just tons of different ways. I put airbags on it.
Really?
Yeah, I designed one. So I used to build off-roading camping trailers. That's why there's a hitch on it. And so I was like, well, I want an airbags on my setup so I can carry a heavier trailer without just squatting. But didn't end up doing that one, but I did design it. I designed so many different variations and finally decided on this one. Got the motion ratio and everything down, made sure it cleared my cage. I put basically just the rear quarter of my Jeep into CAD and just put different cantilevers in it over and over and over until I found what I liked.
Okay. And how many iterations of, so I don't do CAD. The way I design things is cut, screw up, do it over and over again. How many of those did you have?
I cut it one time.
Dang, dude.
I designed,
you gotta be good at it.
I designed it all and then plasma cut it and welded it better exactly as my model. And then it bolted right onto this 2000 pound trailer spindle. And it, no issues, no rework, no cutting and rewelding.
Yeah, that's the opposite of how I design stuff. Yeah. That's the way you're supposed to do it. So you never had to reweld anything. Did you hit any snags at all, or was your CAD work just that good? You can brag. If it was that good, that's fine.
It was pretty close. The push rod, when I'm flexing, it pulls in a little bit. So the shock towers that I had put on there for the leaf springs and then decided to sit over that way. So you can hear.
Yeah, it breaks over and then you just drop down the canyon. It's not really.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of camped in the trail. It's all good. So the push rods flex when you come. Can you sneak down right there? Yeah. Yep. We'll head back down the technical side. Yeah.
Oh, right there.
The push rods flex, and that's kind of the main issue you run into so far.
Yeah. So they were flexing, and I took the I took the shock towers that I was originally going to use with leaf springs and I cut them up and used them to put a big notch in my frame. So that's what that is. It's a rough stuff coil tower Frenched into my frame so that I have the clearance for the bars to move. That was probably the biggest thing, but I mean, it wasn't really that big of a problem. I just had to make a little bit of clearance for the push rod.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm leading in all sorts of kinds of ways. Do you want to go to the bottom of this, or do you want to go? We can finish out, looks like, the top of this. Onyx is coming in clutch, guys. Go check out the leak. Looks like Wayne's World's up a little ways. The mine tailings are up a little ways. There's probably, we're here. Let's just keep heading down it. It'll be fun to do the loop.
Tell me. All right.
All right. When you come back, when we're not filming, just come run this the other way. It'll be
okay.
When your buddy comes out here with the taco. So you cut and you used your stuff from rough stuff so that you're not, sending it to the scrap heap.
Yeah, so that's nail on the frame.
Yeah. What's the, do you do any with like load testing in your CAD stuff? Do you have the ability to like check like how much pressure, if I come off a ledge, am I going to start pushing through the top of the roll bar? Like, do you check any of that?
The roll bar, I didn't do. Oh, gosh. What the heck is that thing? That's the biggest mosquito I've ever seen. The roll bar, that one's just eyeballing it. I gusseted it and the bolt for the shock is sleeved through the entire roll bar. Plus it's got 2/4-inch plates on either side of the shock. So that one I'm pretty confident with. The cage then ties into the frame right behind my butt and then again in the very rear. So that's all tied down to the frame.
That whole hoop's pretty strong then.
Because this cage would probably be gone by now if I didn't do that.
Yeah, because all your weight's really supported up here on this upper roll bar.
Yeah. Yeah, so then all of these bars to tie it back down, try and give it a few more load paths. And then the arm itself, I did run some finite element analysis, FEA.
Okay.
Can't guarantee it was the best model for that, but I checked it, saw some stress points, and I changed my model, beefed it up, and then doubled up the plates at the thinnest point to make it just that much stronger. And it's been going strong now for close to 2 years, I think.
Okay, so you've had that. This config for 2 years?
Yep.
Okay. And have you had to change anything at all since? Or just any tweaks, any adjustments, anything that you've been like, I wish I did it. Let me phrase that. If you had to do it again from the get-go, would you do anything different?
If I restarted it, which might end up happening.
Okay, yes, I'm excited.
I want to use Super Duty unit bearings for the spindle.
Instead of the trailer spindles?
Instead of the trailer spindles. And then that way, I'll get bearing cups, like for building a rear axle with Super Duty bearings. I'll weld bearing cups to a piece of like 3-inch DOM and then put the Super Duty unit bearings on either side. And that way, I can run a sway bar through.
Oh, and so you can
put a locking hub on the unit bearing, and then I can reach back, flick a locking hub forward and back, and it will unlock and lock a sway.
Like on the front of the Super Duties?
Yeah.
That would be pretty sweet.
So I wish it was a sway bar running between the cantilevers or the mezzanine arms. I think that would be awesome. Right now I have a sway bar that it's really only useful on the road, and it's like a disconnect sway bar. It's not like a anti-rock or a TK1 where it flexes with you while you're rock crawling. So I have to disconnect it, but the linkage I've built for it so far just hits everything when I'm trying to rock crawl. So I don't even run it.
Yeah. It's I saw the process for taking it off. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. I don't do it often. I just knew I was going to be on the road a lot these past couple weeks. So I put it on, and that's the biggest thing. It needs a sway bar for sure, which I could do as is. But I think that would be super trick running it in a unit bearing cup with,
yeah, as a
cataloging hub that you can just flip the switch if you really do want to unlock it.
Yeah, that would be pretty wild. Beyond that, like, are you happy with the wheelbase you ended up? So you did a walkthrough video. If someone wants to go see more about this, go check out the Four Lobos video they just did. I'll see if I can find a way to link it. But you ended up set about like 107-inch wheelbase, which is, you know, pretty good. Are you happy with the way the rest of it came out in comparison to the mezzanine? Would you do, you know, stretch further some way or another?
I'm sure a lot of people have seen Moto Built's YJ they built recently, El Jefe, which
okay
has a 15-inch body stretch that Moto Built now sells. And
you have to cut the tub? I haven't seen it. So
you have to cut the entire Jeep in half, and it stretches it 15 inches behind the door. It's an insane amount of work, an insane amount of parts. But it's amazing. It's such a good looking kit. Only problem with that, I wouldn't be able to run my hard top, which, I mean, I guess I could do some fiberglass work and rework all of it, but I don't think I have those skills. So that is tempting. It's super cool. I don't know for sure if I would do it because I wouldn't want to push my rear axle any further back. I like the look of it where it's the rear tire is just barely outcan out from the back, a good departure angle, but not like hanging way out 3 feet.
Yep.
So I could go forward with the front another few inches. I would like to be more around like 110, 114.
Yeah. Seems like that's about the ticket when people get real serious about wheelbase and stuff.
Yeah, running, I have a steering box still, and trying to run a steering box any further forward is pretty hard. So
we're going to come underneath these trees here. Yeah, so pushing it forward, you'd have to relocate the steering box, go full hydro, do something like that.
Yeah.
They, one of the things I will say, and I'm just thinking about it right now as we're coming through here, the droop in the rear, you have like so much down travel. It seems like I was watching some videos of you coming up things in Moab. The back end just seems like it falls forever. It's freaking cool. Do you have any issues with that? Did you have like, do you have to put like an extra long slip lock in your drivetrain or in your drive shaft?
So, no.
It doesn't give me really any issues with my drive shaft, at least because it's stretched further back. My rear drive shaft has a little bit extra length in it. If it was like closer to factory wheelbase, my rear drive shaft would be so short,
that it would definitely bind and give me issues.
It hasn't given me any problems so far.
Okay.
But it does droop out pretty far. It's about 17 inches of travel in the back. It's maybe 6 up.
Okay.
7 down.
Was the front about the same or front? What's the front at?
The front is a 16 inch coilover and it is pretty close to that. I think it's maybe 5 up and 11 down. Some.
Yeah. That's getting pretty good though in overall travel. That's a, like I say, my Razor is about 22 and that's, geez, well, that's a different machine, right? It's
for sure.
IFS, IRS. What I'm saying is you're getting pretty close to that with a solid axle with this funky suspension setup, which is freaking cool. I was going to ask you one more thing about the rear, but I can't remember what it is right now. I'll think of it. But as far as doing all the CAD work and stuff like that, how did you get started in that? You said you started doing it as a job when you were 17. What kicked that off? And then like, what was the point in your life when you're like, hey, I really like this. And turns out I'm actually kind of good at it.
In high school, I had a teacher who had an engineering class and it was pretty basic, but we did a little bit of SolidWorks in that.
Okay.
So I started doing SolidWorks in that class. I really liked it. And I was doing that when I was a junior. And then when I became a senior, I TA'd like 2 of his physics classes and then TA'd his engineering class. And I basically did SolidWorks for 3 periods straight. And I would design different things that we needed at school. And he is actually a car tuner. And so I designed some little car parts here and there. One of his clients wanted a like NACA duct scoop for the side of his, it was an SLC Superlight, which is like a Kigahar. It's a monster. It ended up making like 1500 horsepower and had my little, like I 3D printed them and I think he wrapped them in carbon fiber.
We can just go straight. Well, we're near the bottom here where we'll wrap back to where we started. So you 3D printed them. So was it like PLA wrapped in carbon fiber?
Yeah, this was on like the crappiest 3D printer, so hard to work with. We made it out of PLA and then just delivered it to him. And really what happened is one of his buddies or clients or whatever reached out to him and was like, hey, can you design and make like print these for me? He said, no, but you can pay one of my students to do it. And so he got me a job. I walked in one day, he's like, hey, I have something for you to do. And I already signed you up. So
congrats, you have work.
Yeah, I was still pretty questionable skills, but working on it in class, in my time being his TA, I got it done, printed out, the guy liked it, and I made like $100, which was pretty cool. And so then I just kept doing SolidWorks and ended up getting a job in Provo designing all sorts of things. I worked for a couple, like this little group of startups that were all kind of related through a few of the same guys.
Yeah.
And I did that for a little while until into COVID, I got laid off and ended up moving to Colorado to start building off-road camping trailers with my cousin.
Cool.
And with that, I was doing lots of SolidWorks, getting a lot more practice in.
All right. Let's go back up the way we came down though. It's more fun going that way.
Okay.
And then we'll run into my dad, who's probably, for those that are watching Trail Talk, This is the first time you'll see I'm not flying the drone, talking and driving at the same time. I have my dad and nephew following us flying the drone. We'll see how it works out. We'll see if it goes good. To keep going on your engineering stuff, we'll just go about it the same way. Okay. What's the thing that you have? Is the thing you're most proud of? Is it this Jeep? Like, for what you've designed and built?
Probably. Again, it's my own, and I get to drive it around and show it off, and it's my thing.
So I like to looky-loos run up and be like, what the hell is that?
Exactly.
Okay, so...
that's probably my favorite.
Okay, that's totally reasonable. What would be your second favorite? Like, something else you did. You're like, dude, I did that, and that's freaking sweet.
Oh, gosh. Man, I probably should have thought about this ahead of time.
It's okay. I like surprise questions.
So, let's see.
So I worked for a company called Not a Wheelchair and Jerry Rig Everything. So he's a YouTuber. He started an accessibility company. And so I worked for both of those, kind of bouncing between the two, helping with both. And some of his projects, like the bunker, we built a bunker in his backyard, and I got to do a lot of design on that, to where I told you this in the parking lot, but I had all of like the tube structure designed out, and in a day I ordered all the exact amount of tube I needed and then cut it on a saw, all exactly the length, labeled them with a number so I knew which one was which, and hadn't even started digging the hole yet. And then when we went to go put it together, everything fit, and it ended up being a pretty cool project. A lot of people have seen it, and I didn't like completely design that from the ground up. There were some like engineering plans that I based it off of, but we definitely didn't go exactly like two pitches
copy with what it was.
And it was, we had a drawing, but having it actually in SolidWorks, to where in the future where we like added an elevator to it, I could go into that model and add the elevator and see where it's clearing and how much space I have, and design new parts that will weld onto what I've already built, because I am very specific with how I'm placing my tubes, and like everything has to be perfect. And my coworkers, it probably drives them insane, but I'm like, oh, it's like a 16th off, like tap it a little bit.
Move it. It's got to be there, because later we got to add something maybe.
Yeah.
That's freaking cool.
Happy with that. It's not like CAD, but I used to do structural welding, and just like driving past these buildings that I know I like built a bunch of stuff for throughout Utah County is really fun. I really enjoy that. That's like something I take pride in.
Yeah. If someone was to drop 50 grand in your lap, just say, hey, Nate, I got 50 grand. Would this Jeep still remain? And if not, what would you buy? And if it would, how would you modify it from here beyond the sway bar?
Like, yeah. It's probably, it would make sense to go to something different or new, or an LJ. But this Jeep, it was my grandpa's originally, and then it was my uncle's for a couple of years, and then it's been with my dad and my family since 2008, and so it's very like nostalgic, and I really just love it. It's like my family's Jeep, and it's been with me forever. So even though it goes against common sense, I would probably want to keep it and keep building it. If I have just a lump sum of cash, it would be awesome to get like Fusion 4x4 axles, not have to go build a junkyard axle, just body off, like clean up the frame. Honestly, I'd probably do a new frame, just tube, make it exactly how I want, of course, to the computer, and flush it out before I start building.
Well, you put it in the computer, if you get those Fusion axles and all of a sudden you don't have these clearance issues, does the mezzanine remain? Or would you at that point say, I got all this room here, we're throwing on some coilovers, or how's that go?
I think it would remain in some capacity. Maybe not in this exact setup, but I just love it so much now, even if it's not practical. Maybe if it raises my center of gravity by a tiny bit.
Dude, it's so cool. It's so cool. Don't get rid of it. If you ever get a little bit of cash, just keep it.
Yeah, I don't want to. It's like my pride and joy. So I would probably just keep it. And I wonder if at that fork, your dad went the other way.
I don't know. We might be on a rescue mission now. All I'm doing is hoping we don't come up on one on its side with a hand stuck under it type of thing.
Oh, gosh. So, no.
Yeah.
So the mezzanine would stay. Might even have to come up with a cantilever set up for the front.
That'd be so
streaming. You seen it's Slim Tidy on Instagram. He made a, it's like a Volkswagen Bug. It was a whole tube chassis. It's a race car.
Oh yeah, what?
The front-ender
has your panels on it.
Has a crazy like cantilever system that I love. And he's a really, really good fabricator.
So that's really cool. So you try and adapt something like that to this?
Maybe. I mean, his is definitely more like desert running, going fast.
Yeah.
And probably doesn't, it's IFS. It's like the weird beam setup thing, like the forward mounted beams from the
CCB. Yeah.
But not even like the light beams. It's like the Volkswagen little tiny, like rear facing. It's a janky. I mean, his is not janky. I'm not saying that, but
you heard it here first. He's calling him out. He wants to race.
No. Oh my gosh. I get smoked, but it's this weird, like Volkswagen Bug front suspension thing. That,
so it's just kind of the way they did it. And he's worked with it type of thing.
Yeah. It might even be like a class restriction that if he's racing it, he has to keep that sort of suspension.
Cool. Well, that's pretty cool. I do hope to see you come into a lump sum of cash because I want to see you build some wild stuff. But I think right now we might be going on a quest to find a razor. So we'll wrap it up. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about, if you guys want to see more about the Jeep itself, go check out the full Low Bros video. Go follow Mezza Jeep on Instagram. You don't have a YouTube channel up yet, but you're going to, right?
No, I need to. I don't have a YouTube. Well, I mean, I guess I have one, but there's nothing posted on it. There's a couple shorts that I've reposted from my Instagram. Maybe you can tag it in the bottom and I'll have a video up. Yep. At some point when someone watches this in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Cool, man. Well, this has been fun. I don't care who says it's impractical. I don't care. It's freaking cool. Don't do anything different. That's all I would say. But this has been awesome, man. Thanks for coming out and driving me around. Let's go see if we can find some yahoos in a razor.
We'll catch you guys on the next one.